Welcome back to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. You can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network, on Twitter at FFR Podcast. Send in those questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. We are also part of the 1893 Coalition, consisting of Intellectual Nonsense, Enthusiast Projects, and ourselves. But again, this is the Freeform Radio. I am one of your hosts. My name is Daniel. Right next to me today is
Big Spending Andy.
Yes, sir. Back together here. We'd like to wish everybody, by the time this drops, belated Father's Day. But happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there for doing your thing and taking care of all these little munchkins. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
Yeah. Keep them kids coming up, man.
Yes, sir. Keep that circle going.
That's the best part of being a dad, making babies.
I think so. That's what they told me. But jumping into the week here, Andy, just like you let off a little bit earlier, Big Spending Andy, man, dropping those ducats, man. All those pennies saved, those little pennies put into that jar that you have. You had to finally crack open that piggy bank, and you bought yourself a new truck, man.
So that's the thing. I haven't bought a new vehicle for myself in 14 years, and
that's a good run, man.
Yeah, it's it was my little Chevy S10. I've had it for 14 years. Before that, I had a Chevy Blazer for like 4 or 5 years. So I had Chevys, and last year I spent some money on this truck, like regular maintenance, but it was having some problems with the emissions, so I paid big money to repair it, a little more than I wanted to, and I don't know, like, I just felt like I'm not going to put that much more money into it. I'm just giving, like, another oil change, and then I made up my mind this year I was going to purchase a new truck.
So, were you, from the get-go, were you looking for another Chevy since your last two were Chevys, or what were your game plan?
This year, I was really looking for the one I bought. I bought a Ford F-150. I was looking for that mainly until a couple weeks ago. The Dodge Rams, the 2015s and the new ones, 2016s, were highly recommended by my cousin. I saw some reviews on it, and I was shocked how good, what great reviews they got for a fucking Dodge Ram, the 1500. You had the Hemi ones, the V8s with that V8 transmission. Now, those were highly, highly recommended with great reviews. The other ones, if it ain't a V8 or it doesn't have that Hemi, it's like, yeah, typical Dodge bullshit, you know, with their problems. But if you get the Hemi one, that thing, like, was, like, hauling ass. It's great fucking reviews. And I almost bought one.
But okay.
When I went back, they sold it.
All right. Now, the price-wise, are they in the same price range, F-150s with the Dodge Rams?
No, the Dodge Rams, they're a little bit cheaper, but the... Like, I told the guy, like, Dodge wasn't into the run until I saw the last reviews, because people who don't own trucks, you pretty much see two type of trucks on the road, all types, old, new, is the Chevys and the Ford F-150s, the full-size one, the big ones. You see that. When you see Dodge Rams, you see their new ones, but you don't see one that's, like, 10 years old or older. You rarely see that.
Okay.
Because they're not known for lasting really long. I mean, but the new ones... they were highly recommended. It was a good price. They're better priced. They're about $8,000 to $7,000 cheaper than like a brand new one compared to like a Ford or a Chevy, which are like brand new ones are like between $38,000 and like $40,000, like your basic extended or double cab.
Yeah, I know. Right. When I was looking for a car a few years ago, when I bought mine, I bought a Corolla, which is totally different from a pickup, but I was contemplating getting a pickup truck, and when I saw those sticker pricing, I was just like, holy shit, I better stick to my little compact car, because they're definitely truck owners, a jump.
Yeah, it's just to give you an idea, a brand new one, what I purchased, mine, it's a used one, it's only like 4 years old, but when that came out, that price range for that truck, the one I bought, was like $39,000.
All right.
And then the new ones, like if I were to pay what that model with the new ones right now, I think it's like $40,000. And And then, like, the real basic one with that extended cab, I mean, it's a little bit more affordable. It's, like, $28,000, $29,000.
Okay.
It's just, like, it's not what I wanted. It's, like, just a real basic model.
Yeah, because your Chevy truck had a single cab, right?
It was an extended cab. That was the LS. That had a V6 4.3 engine, which it was a special truck. Not a special truck, but it was a little bit of a higher end one.
Okay, so it wasn't the base model.
It wasn't the base model.
Oh, okay.
That's why that truck, it was good. I mean, it had a good engine. That engine that I had in there, it took a lot of beatings, a lot of miles, but I don't want to put more money into it. But though that, if I really put some more money into it, like another like $5,000, that truck would have lasted me another 10 years probably.
Now, you said it's an extended cab, because I remember you can't really fit somebody in the back. It was kind of snug.
It's an LS, so it's not like the big one.
It wasn't a full chair.
No, yeah. Like now with the one I bought, now you can fit like freaking everything back there.
Yeah, I know yours is now, it's a double-seater, and, you know, sometimes people use that wording, double-seater, but it's really tight in the back.
Yeah.
But this one, just from the looks of it, looked really roomy in the back as well, so.
No, yeah, there's a lot of room back there. I was looking for that, but, yeah, it's the one I wanted for a while. The Dodge was in the running there at the end, but I went to a Dodge dealership a couple weeks ago, and they had a 2014 for what I paid for this one, but I just didn't like it. It's not what the one I want. Like, they didn't have no 2015s used ones, because those are that's their like truck right now. The 2015 Dodge Rams and the new 2016s. Those things were sweet, and I test drove one, and it was really nice. It's just it's nice, but they didn't have the one I wanted. I gotta get so I got this one. I really wanted this one for a while though.
No, cool, man. No, congratulations. I've known you for quite a few years, and I know you've been, you know, saving money wherever you can for these past years, you know, trying to get that truck that you want to get. And, you know, the way you are, your first truck lasting you as long as it was, and then this one lasting you, you know, over a decade here. I know you wanted to get something that you were going to like and that you were going to keep for another decade, hopefully, if everything goes well.
Oh yeah, it's these trucks. Like, if you get a truck that has the truck I got right now, over 100,000 miles, it's still like a fucking a $15,000 truck. I mean, they're reliable. They last forever. You do regular maintenance on them, and people like them. And you've seen trucks that are beat to shit with a shitload of miles. You still get about, you know, $7,000-$8,000. People still pay top money for those trucks. Because they have good reliability, they know they handle a lot of work, and trucks, who doesn't love trucks?
Yeah, I mean, even your truck, when you were telling me, yeah, I'm going to try to trade it in and see what they can give me for it, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, yeah, man, you'd be lucky if you could get $200 for it, you know. It's a pretty beat up truck, you know, it's done its mileage, and it's done its work for the years. So I thought in my head anything over 200 is pushing it, but you told me this morning that you actually got a half decent penny for that.
Well, I already had a number in my head. Like, if they give me $1,000, I'll be happy as shit. So when we got there, you trading in something, like, I'm trading that 2001 Chevy out there, the one with the beat up one. He just looked at me. Okay, so what are you looking to get? I go, you're asking me? Give me $1,000, I'll be happy. He just started laughing. Like, you're asking me what I want. That's what I want. All right? So if you can't, that's fine. Tell me what you can do, and we'll go from there. And then I go, we'll negotiate, and then we could do other stuff on the pricing. So I talked them down a little bit on the final price on that one. But then when they came back at me with the truck, he's like, I can't do that. I'll give you $5. I'm like, give me $8. I mean, give me fucking $8. I go, what's going to cost you? I go, and fill up fill up the truck with some gas and bring me another Diet Coke.
And you got yourself a deal.
Yeah, and I tried to work in some smokes in there too and shit, but I couldn't get those smokes. But yeah, once he gave me that, and they gave me the good interest rate, which I was kind of worried, because the recession kind of fucked up everything. But yeah, I got a pretty good lower rate than they told me I would probably get. And then just how much down, and told him give it a nice cleaning and get it ready, get it gassed up, and we'll make it happen. And Once all that gets fucking done, it's still like a fucking all this paperwork and weight. Oh yeah, this bullshit. Yeah.
So did it kill up most of your morning? Because you said you went there in the morning.
I got there at 9:30. By the time I got home, and literally I lived like 5 minutes from this fucking place. I didn't get home till like I think a little bit before one.
Oh man, it's almost a full
time. The negotiating shit was just that's the best part of like when you go buy a car. Because granted, I haven't bought a car in fucking forever, but back in the day when I bought cars, from my sister, she had her truck now for like 10 years plus, my mom, there was a fucking negotiation going on, you know. You could work, everything could get negotiated. Now, I mean, when I started looking for my new truck, all these dealers, man, they all look at you like you're fucking crazy, dude. Like, this is the best price, this is the best price. I'm like, well, what the fuck's going on, man? I'm bringing you all this money, and that's the best you could do? It's just like, it's ridiculous. And they're like, you know, they blame the internet. They blame CarMax. It's a CarMax. The last guy told me CarMax fucked us all up. So they used to pad the price to bring it down. But it made it look like you're getting a deal. But now you're getting a deal right up front. But a lot of you old-timers go, you guys think it's like they haven't bought cars in a while? I think you can get knocked down a couple grand. He's like, nobody does that no more. I believe it. Nobody fucking does it. I went to like 4 different dealerships. And when you start talking numbers, they look at you like, I could give you like 300, 400 bucks. Like, get the fuck out of here, man. Like, give me a thousand.
Yeah, no.
Give me a thousand and a half and you make me happy. No, they don't do that no more.
Yeah, I bought my car about 4 years ago or so. And yeah, it was the same thing. They're like the internet market. There's more smart buyers. There's buyers that do more research, and you know, be it a bad or good thing, whatever. But you know, with customers being more smart, you can't inflate that price anymore. And then go like, all right, you know, I'm gonna make you a deal because I like you. I'm gonna drop down 2,000. Yeah. In actuality, they you know, padded it like 5,000, so they're able to drop it 2,000 and make it look like a lot of money, but in actuality they inflated the price. But now with customers being smarter, being able to do more shopping online, comparative pricing, you know, they all got to be really competitive, and the internet kind of created that. So yeah,
like the Carfax shit, like you see how many owners have had any accidents. Like they show you all this shit to show you like this is a great price. Let me show you the blue book. And I don't give a fuck about all that, man. I'm here to... We're still going to negotiate, dude. Like, give me something. Like, the fuck? I'm not going to just come here and go, I like this car, let's do it. Like, dude, there's an art form to... There's an art form, basically. Like, there's something in haggling.
The dance, Andy?
It's a fucking dance, dude. And the guy goes, I'm not going to jerk you around, man. This is... Like, what the fuck, dude? Come on, man. I go, come on. I go, you got to lower it something. I'm not going to pay what the fuck the price is on the internet. You and me know that. So... If you're telling me you can't do that price, well, what's the fucking best price? And then if that's your final price, then all right, let's fucking work some other shit into it. Like, give me 8 for the truck. Fucking fill up the gas tank. Give me some fucking oil changes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, shit like that, it could be worked into
it. Free car mats or...
Yeah, like, make me fucking feel like I'm getting a fucking deal. Don't make me sound like you're doing me a fucking favor, because the only reason you're sucking my dick is because I'm going to drop all this money with you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, come on, dude, like... Make me feel like I'm getting the best fucking deal here. Don't just make me sign some paperwork and all this shit.
So they did send the closer to you. They sent.
Yeah, I was waiting for Will Schaefer and bring his closers over here. Like, these people, they change these women change their guys' mind who are hesitant to purchase. They're going to get them to purchase the fucking car. He's like, that's why I was waiting for him to bring the fucking closer over. And all I saw was a bunch of old fucking dudes smoking. Oh, man, Larry Roche... I think every fucking worker there was out there smoking, dude.
Can you imagine back in the old days where you used to be able to smoke at work? Just in that showroom, just having all that smoke all over in the room,
and
man.
The desk negotiating and shit.
Yeah. That must have been a scene for sure.
But it wasn't too bad. Like, I like all that shit. I like haggling. Because the worst thing is they're going to tell you is no. Okay. Then you just get up and walk away. And then, like always, oh, you like the truck? I'm like, man, ain't shit, man. I seem better, you know? But I'll help you guys out by taking it off your hands.
Nah, cool, man. No, well, again, congratulations, man. I'm happy for you. I know you struggled a lot with the truck. It wasn't perfect. Some cold winters and some hot summers truck. But, nah, man, you deserve it, man. You sacrificed enough that it's time for you to shine for a little bit, at least.
Yeah, yeah. It's I'll probably have buyer's remorse tomorrow and be like, try to take it back and see what happens.
Once the first payment hits, you're going to be like, shit, what the hell did I do?
That's another thing. I had to get proof of insurance, like full coverage. Otherwise, it wouldn't let me drive off the lot.
Yeah, no, not with, especially when you finance, you got to have full coverage.
I had to call my guy, and the fucking guy didn't answer the phone, so I had to call the 800 number.
You called the Eagle Man or who?
No, I called the farmers.
Oh, you got farmers?
Guy called. He wouldn't fucking answer the phone, so I had to call the 800 number. The guy's just like, well, okay, yeah, it's... Your next month payment can be like $180. Like, okay. Like, hey, send me proof of insurance. I could drive this truck out of here. I'll email it to you right now. And that's what they did. It's amazing now. All the shit you needed to get insurance and all this stuff, you could just do over the phone and they send you something in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
It's pretty scary.
Yeah, I remember mine as well. Everything was over the phone. You know, you need proof of insurance, blah, blah, blah. I called the guy up. He's like, all right, we'll make the transfer over. I had a Chevy Equinox, and then I traded it in for this Toyota Corolla. And, yeah, everything within a few hours, they made the switch over, sent me a temporary license or insurance card, and then that's it, man. Yeah, it was off and running.
Yeah, it was it's crazy.
No, for sure, man. No, well, again, congrats, man.
Thanks.
We have to go on a test ride after this, man. As for me, man, I had a chance to try out the Sony VR headset, man, the PSVR headset that's coming out in October.
And how was it?
And, you know, at the very end, I was happy with it. I walked away feeling like, yeah, this might be worth it, man. This is a really cool experience. But I got to admit, when I was walking in, I did feel kind of like, I don't know if this is worth the price tag. Because at least for the Sony VR headset, it's priced at $400.
Which is not bad. It's not bad for what you see out there right now.
Yeah, when you compare it to the other ones, it's not that bad. But $400 is still $400, man. You know, it's nothing to sneeze at. And especially for a VR headset, because this is just a VR headset. It's $400. You need a PlayStation 4 to run it. But when you compare it to other competitors... It's actually very affordable compared to the other people. Other people are even twice as expensive. But again, it's just for the headset. So I got a PlayStation 4. I'm a PlayStation guy. So it was something that I was just like, well, if the money's right and, you know, things are looking well, I might pick it up. But, you know, wasn't really sure about the tech. But went into the testing or the experience, the VR demo experience.
So you went to like the mall or something?
Yeah,
it was like massive. Did you know about it, or you just were there, like, oh shit?
No. After the E3 press conference, which was a week or so ago, they said that they were going to start touring around to look at this website to see what stores would have these demo units, blah blah blah. So I did that. I went and I printed out like the three closest stores by my area, and the first one that was going to be was at the Hip by Harlem and Irving over here in Norwich.
Chicagoland people.
Yes. So we went to go do some stuff early in the morning. Junior actually took off to see the Dora or what's that?
Dory,
the Dory movie.
The fish.
Yeah. And so me and Alana had the morning to ourselves, so we're like, you know what? Let's go check out that VR thing. So we went to go check it out. Got there kind of early. It started at noon. We got there like at 11:40 or something. So there was maybe like half a dozen people in line already waiting to experience it. So we got our ticket. Alana didn't want to do it. She's like, no, I don't want to do it. She's just like, I'm not interested in none of this VR stuff. You know, I'm not, you know, she's not a gamer to begin with.
Garbage.
Yep. And I'm like, well, why don't you try it just to check it out and be able to at least speak upon it, you know, if somebody asks you about it. He's like, nah, I'm going to go window shop. I'm going to go look at like refrigerators. And she was looking for a new fan for her work desk. She wanted like this personal air fan. So she's like, I'm going to go walk around. I'll be back later. But we went to check out the VR. I went to go stand in line, and I was watching other people demo it. And man, these are like some super nerds, man. And I'm like, man, am I in this crowd, man?
You're the nerd.
Are these my people?
That's your people right there.
I'm like, are these my people here, man? But man, they were like super nerded out, man. And I was just like, shit, man, I guess I'm part of this crowd now. I'm part of this like super nerd, you know, culture or whatever.
Where they're testing it, were they like sweating and breathing all hard and shit? The nerds.
There were some heavy set gentlemen there that were kind of breathing hard, And to be honest, even though the store was kind of cool, when they took my headset off, I was kind of sweating a little bit.
Old man.
So I don't know if it's just the headset or what's the deal, but I'm sure if anybody that's going to have to get these headsets, you're going to have a good AC, man.
Now, real quick, when they put the, were you sitting down or were you standing up?
Everybody was sitting down.
Really?
I noticed that the guy was really scared about people feeling dizzy, because every guy that was there before me, he said it two or three times. If you feel uncomfortable, if something's not right, close your eyes and raise your hands, and I'll come over and help you with your headset. So I don't know if maybe this is a part of VR, that nauseousness or dizziness or some kind of like discomfort is part of it. So maybe they're so used to it that it's kind of like a preface to it, you know, kind of like in a roller coaster.
They probably know something that we don't know.
Yeah.
I know some people won't react to it well.
You know, kind of like when you do like a bumper cars or roller coasters, you know, people who are pregnant or have heart conditions don't take this shit. You know, kind of like that, I imagine.
Now, was there people there with like glasses or anything? Did this fit right over them? Or?
Yeah, actually, the first three guys had it, and then the guy right in front of me had it as well. And none of them took it off. And the guy made it a point to tell him, he's like, you do not have to take off your glasses. The headset wraps around your head. Almost to the point where it goes around your glasses without even touching it. And everybody who had glasses, he would ask them after they were done, did you have a problem with your glasses? And I did not hear one of them say that they did have a problem. Almost everybody said it was comfortable.
Yeah, man, ruined my experience.
But everybody else seemed pretty cool. Actually, I was kind of disappointed in some of the first guys doing the demos, because they almost seemed like they weren't gamers. They weren't playing the game that well. And I was looking, and I'm just like, dude, why don't you shoot this guy? There was two guys in front of me did the same demo I did. It was a space cockpit where you're shooting other space aircrafts in space. And they weren't really doing too well, man. They weren't shooting. They weren't, like, you know, barreling around, navigating around the starships and stuff like that.
Right.
So I'm like, are these guys even gamers, or what are they?
You remember the game?
I forget the name, but I know it's one of the main popular ones, but the name escapes me right now.
They just had one demo.
Chronicles or Valkyria Chronicle something like that. I forget the name right now. They had like four or five demos that you can choose from, but that's the one that seemed most interesting to me, especially because you can control it. So that's the big part that I wanted to try. So anyways, I get the headset put on. The guy walks me through. Hey, do this, do that. I set it up. And I got to admit, when I first got the glimpse inside the glasses, I was a little unimpressed. I was just like, man, this is it, man? This doesn't really look... It looks just like the Samsung VR, because that's the other headset that I've tried before. And I was not 100% blown away. He's just like, all right, you're funny. You're done with your adjustments. I did all my final adjustments. The picture looked clear. He's like, all right, I'm going to put down the headsets. As soon as I put the headsets on, you're not going to be able to hear anything. And I'm like, all right, cool. And sure enough, man, he put that headset on, the headphones, and I cannot hear anything, dude. This thing, like, it was some badass. Like,
felt the bass?
Yeah, I mean, I've never had headphones that good. So I don't know if these are, like, some super-duper ones, and my generic...
Are they from, like, the dollar store, you think?
No, see, that's why I think that this is where it's going to separate a true VR experience from just a regular one. Because I think if I put my generic Amazon basics here, I don't know if they're going to be as good. But, man, it cupped my ear, and I could not hear shit outside of the game. Everything in the game, and that's when, to me, the VR experience really turned on. And I was just like, dude, I feel like I'm inside here. Because as your head tracked and you moved around, because even before that, he told me, he's like, look around. He's like, that's the experience, you looking around. If you just play the game like you would regularly play a game, you're not going to feel the VR experience to the fullest. He's like, move your head. And I'm like, okay. So after you put everything on, that was the first thing I did. I started looking around my cockpit, and you can hear the sound move as your head moves. So the engines are blasting behind me, so I can hear the sound behind me. And as my head moved, I could hear the sound rotating around my head. So it made me feel like I was in that
cockpit.
You're
immersed in it, yeah.
And I, you know, to be honest, even though the glasses were badass, after I got into the experience, the thing flew off and I started fighting in the dogfights. The visuals seem like regular PlayStation 4 visuals. It looks badass, kind of 3D-ish. But the big thing to me was the sound, man. Those headphones is what really sold me.
It was like surround sound, true surround sound, like you hear right and left, like shit
yeah,
in the background.
Yeah, yeah, it was like some Dolby 5.1 kind of stuff, man. I didn't ask him about the specs on the headphones because the headphones will not be included with the headset. So you can use any headset that you want, any headphones that you want. So, you know, either I'm going to have to try these and see how good the 3D sound is. But these headsets, these headphones were badass, man. And that's what really sold me on the VR experience. I thought that's what made the difference and made it to where you saw like a virtual reality kind of setting with it, with the video game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the VR stuff, I've been kind of lax on it because I feel it's real gimmicky with the Oculus and the Samsung ones. And you know, when I heard about this one, the PlayStation one or with the Sony one, I was just like, eh, might be gimmicky, but I don't know. Like, I gotta read up on it a little bit more.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. They're still doing demos here in the Chicagoland area, and actually everywhere. If you put in your zip code on the website, PlayStationVR or something or other .com, it'll give you the neighboring stores that are in right. your area. That are having the experience. I know that at the HIP, they're going to have it again this next coming Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I'm planning to try to take Junior to see if he could experience it. Because like I mentioned, he was at the movies with my brother-in-law. So, yeah, man, it was cool. I'm really glad I did it. It kind of pushed me a little closer to buying it.
Right.
I still got to look. You know, $400 is still a lot of money. So I got to see if everything lines up right, you know, money-wise here at the house. My wifey gave me the thumbs up to get it, but you know, I just gotta make sure everything is cool money wise. And yeah, man, you might be hearing some more in depth talk about the VR headset, but
well,
it
yeah,
was cool.
I saw that they're gonna have 50 games. I don't know if at launch or within under like the first couple months of launch that they're gonna have 50 games just for that VR headset.
Yeah, they call it launch windows. So launch windows usually within like the 4 months or maybe 6 months of it releasing, which the release date for the PlayStation VR headset is going to be October 13. And again, it's going to be priced at $400 for the headset unit itself. Anything else is extra. Like I mentioned, the headphones is extra. As well as the controllers that that you need to control it, but it hooks up to your PlayStation. So as long as you have your PlayStation, you should be pretty cool with most games.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I haven't really read up on it much, but I know there's going to be games. I wonder if they're like, are they just porting them over and then like with the shooters and then, or they're actually like some publisher is or one of the developing companies are just like, they're using like, the software that Sony gave them and making like games that is true VR. They're like some type of weird, they're just porting over games. That's what I don't know how the technology is yet because I haven't really been following it.
Yeah. No, well, like you mentioned, the 3D VR stuff, you need to build it almost from the ground up
right.
with that intent to port over a game. I heard, you know, I'm not a developer. I'm not a, you know, anything like that. I don't do game programming, but I heard it's difficult to port over an existing game, especially with the HUD unit, from what I'm understanding. Right. The HUD unit's usually like a static image or it's overlaid onto the graphics. So that would be the hardest part to rework. But the PlayStation VR in particular, they're going to offer like a theater mode where you can play almost any PlayStation game on there. Okay. It's not going to be PR. It's not going to be 3D, but it's going to offer you where you're like in a big screen, kind of like an Omnimax viewer on your PlayStation headset. But I don't know how comfortable that's going to be having the screen so close to your eyes.
Yeah, that's why it's going to be interesting to see. Because I saw like some of the launch titles and like they just said like Star Wars Battlefront VR, this VR and that. I'm like, are they just porting over games or something? Like, that's why I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how many of them are like they're exclusive or not, or I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, those in particular that you mentioned, Battles, the Star Wars one, Those are VR.
Resident Evil, like VR or something.
Yeah, those are bona fide from the ground up VR experiences. Oh, those are not ported over games. Those are experiences made from the ground up, whether it's a 6-minute experience or it's a 3-hour experience or maybe 12-hour experience. That I don't know. Because they keep using that word experience as well, because some of these are just tech demos where you get to goof around in it. One that I saw before I stepped in was this water tank one, but you didn't get to control anything. It's mostly just tracking your head, and you get to experience it while you're sitting down. And
yeah, that's pretty, I mean, like they give you a game and an actual, like, VR gameplay is like 10 minutes or something.
Yeah, right? Yeah, this was thing was like a 10-minute demo, and it's inside of a shark tank. So you're sitting inside of a shark tank, and you're just looking around, experiencing the emotion of being in the shark tank. But you're not controlling anything. You're not controlling any kind of ships or anything. So the action is just developing around you, and you're just experiencing. So, yeah, I think that's why they keep using that word experience, because some of them might be just that. It might be some kind of generic, you know, you're immersed into this experience for a few minutes, and then that's it. And whether it's a game or not, that's probably going to be the next level.
Oh, yeah, it's and then I'm just waiting for the porn to come with this thing.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. They already said they're working with Pornhub or I forget what other stuff.
Well, that's like with any new technology, the porn industry is always right there. The first one to roll out stuff for that new medium or whatever.
No, for sure. They are always on that cusp as well.
The Dragon Lair game, remember that? The game, they're like in every freaking new medium. They just roll out that game and put it on there when it's CD, cartridge, arcade,
yep.
Sega CD, computer. They're just, you got a PSP, throw the game on there, man. We'll sell it to whoever. We'll just put it on any platform. We don't care.
Oh, for sure, man. But kind of speaking on video games, man, we wanted to kind of touch real quickly on E3. E3 was just this past week. And, man, it was awesome, man. I was at work during most of it. It happens during the afternoon in, I believe this year it was in San Francisco. So I was not able, San Francisco or Seattle? Can't remember.
I think it was in the West Coast. I want to say San Francisco.
Yeah, it might have been San Francisco. I can't remember. But anyways, it was in the West Coast, like Andy said. It basically officially started on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But some people had special early press conferences on Sunday. And one of them studios was EA Sports. EA Sports had their press conference on Sunday. They showed off quite a bit of stuff, man.
It was in LA.
It was in LA? Okay, pretty close. So they had the show on Sunday. You know, it was kind of, to me, as the overall show, and I know, Andy, I think you said you watched a little bit as well, or at least tuned in for a little bit.
I saw a lot of, like, recap stuff. I don't watch the actual, like, one and a half presentation or
anything.
Yeah,
no,
like that.
Neither did I, but I did watch some recap stuff. And the EA was kind of on the lower end of the press conferences that I watched. But they showed off their 3-year plan with Star Wars. A bunch of, like, behind the scenes.
It was
scenes.
Like a hype video, man.
Yeah, it was like a bunch of, just like, all right, this is what we're working on. Here's some, like, 3D animations of characters that we're working on, some, like, you know, environments.
What I saw was just, like, yes, we have the Star Wars property for video gaming, and yes, we're going to put it on all these platforms. And yes, we're going to have all the characters. And yes, we're going to have mobile games. And yes, we're doing all this stuff, but they haven't showed you on anything that they're fucking working on. That's what I saw.
Yeah. But I think the name itself kind of carried that announcement, because when I heard it, I was the same way. I was just like, well, let me see the games. But just seeing Star Wars, it kind of got me excited. I'm like, you know, whatever it is, it's going to be exciting. So I can't wait to further developments. But again, it's a 3-year plan. So anybody looking for something in the near future, you might have to wait. I would imagine in those 3 years, they'll probably release something every year or so far.
EA, the company that they are, I was kind of disappointed that they haven't, they didn't have more for that, because they're fucking EA, man. They got besides Madden and some of the other games, I mean, sports games, I mean, other than that, what, the Battlefront they just released, other than that, I don't know what the fuck they do anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely in these last couple of years, EA's trying to diversify their portfolio a little bit more, pick up a little more indie stuff, because for a lot of years, they've been nominated the worst company to work for.
I mean, I can see that.
Corporate-wise. So they're trying to break that stigma and trying to diversify their portfolio and, instead of just, you know, doing sports games like they usually do.
But that's their bread and butter. That's where all their money comes from. But, like, other games, besides the Star Wars game, I think where they actually put some effort into it. But other than that, I mean, I don't know. If it ain't a sports game, I don't know what the fuck else they do. I mean, besides what, Battlefield, I think?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was some of the other stuff that they went over on their press conference. They had the sports stuff, the usual Madden, FIFA, new features, yeah. New this, new that. And like you mentioned, Battlefield. The next game is going to be called Battlefield 1. And it's going to be circling around, or the theme is going to be World War One.
Okay, that's what I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a lot of close combat, melee stuff, some really cool. It looks really badass. People are kind of excited because they always mention, how do you do a good World War One movie or a video game? And it's very difficult because a lot of it was trench warfare. So how do you really put that into a video game and make that entertaining?
You're going to be fighting the Red Baron, and they just saw him throwing bombs in cities and just people running and then shanking each other. And I think they used chemical weapons back in the day. So I don't know. It'd be like, I saw that, and I'm like, eh. Or like World War One. Like, I'd rather see a World War Two game.
Yeah, but this is World War Two. They've done it to death. I mean, So I think they're kind of putting it in the back. To let it, you know, build up anticipation, and maybe after another 5 years or so, they'll have enough of a gap where they could do another World War II game and kind of bring that back and, you know, make it entertaining again.
Right.
But yeah, Battlefield 1, they showed gameplay. They showed actual gameplay, so it was kind of interesting to see the graphics engine and see how that works. But the other two big games that EA had were Titanfall 2 and Mass Effect Andromeda. The Mass Effect Andromeda was kind of like a behind the scenes. They didn't really show too much gameplay or too much of even a trailer. It was more like a little featurette.
Just a hype video, yeah. Feature, like they were working on it. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. Trust us.
And so they showed a little bit. And, you know, Mass Effect is awesome. I played the last two games, Part 2 and 3. And to me, it was awesome, man. It was a great experience. Also in space. Dealing with different life beams, and it's a really cool game.
I never got into those, but I know it's a pretty massive game. What I remember people talking about,
yeah, especially the last one with Shepard, it was a really cool game. You got branching stories depending on what you did. You got to interact with different races, and the way you answered or the actions that you did kind of affect the future of the game. So if you kill off or you make an enemy of this person early on in the game, when you get later on into the game, that has an effect onto other things. And, and so it changes the outcome. So it's a really cool game, man. The last one that came out, and I'm really excited about Andromeda. But the one that they did show some gameplay or at least a good scissor reel for a trailer was the Titanfall 2, man. They showed all the single player stuff, which the first Titanfall was a Microsoft exclusive release. The Part 2 will be on all platforms. Part 1, also what was missing was a first player, single player experience. It was all or multiplayer.
Yeah,
it was all multiplayer or co-op. But nothing single player. So that's what the Part 2 is going to offer. It's going to offer a single player campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty interesting. I mean, kind of the usual stuff with robots, because the game is you're in a mech unit, and it looks like the mechs have become sentient, or they understand they have a being.
Oh, they got a soul.
Yeah. So at least that's what it looks like the spin's going
to
be.
You know, humans are good at breaking people's souls. So
yeah.
That'd be easy to defeat.
But at least that's what we think, just from the trailers and the little bit that they've released. They become, you know, aware. They got an AI that becomes self-aware. So it's going to be cool to see how that develops. As for the next press conference of the day was the Bethesda.
Bethesda?
Bethesda, yeah, that one. They released their conference. Now this one was kind of on the low, not too high in the press conferences. A little better than EA, I would say, just because of their content.
These are publishers, so yeah. Like EA is a publisher, Bethesda is a publisher, and then so on before the actual like so the console guys.
Yeah, yeah. So these are they release mostly multi-platform, so they go on PC,
mobile,
Sony,
console.
Sure.
Yeah.
Their big announcements was Fallout 4 DLC, as well as the announcement of VR. I believe they're going to be working with Oculus at this time.
Yes.
But the VR thing, they didn't really show too much other than announce it, but they did show that more DLC is coming. A big one that I was excited for was the Skyrim remastered.
I saw that, and I was just like, okay.
Yeah, I love the Skyrim game, man.
There's a lot of people that love that game.
Yeah, it was awesome. It shows it's kind of like a Viking...
Yeah.
Viking-ish game with dragons and shit like that. It's kind of like a Dungeons and Dragons kind of thing. Really cool,
fantasy.
Man. Yeah. It was a really cool game back in the day, so they're remastering, giving it some HD treatment. Quake Champions. It's like a co-op multiplayer.
Yeah.
Not really big on Quake myself. They re-announced Prey. They scrapped all the old stuff because they were very close. Yeah, they were very close to releasing Prey 2. But then they just scrapped the whole idea. They didn't like it.
Right.
And they started out from the ground up again. So they re-announced a Prey. Dishonored 2 gameplay as well. They released a trailer as well as some gameplay of it.
I saw for that one because I heard a little bit of hype about it. And I don't know if you like that steampunk stuff. I mean, it looks cool, but I didn't. It looked like a shooter. I don't know. It was like I just saw a lot of... steam engine steamboats and shit and
yeah
all that weird like corset wearing girls and weird guns and steam shit all over the place. And I mean, it looked all right, but I don't know what the premise is. I saw some dude that looked like with a long jacket, looked like a bearded with a like he was like a cowboy or some shit shooting people, but I don't know what his deal was.
Yeah, it's a first person perspective. I played the first one. And it was okay. It wasn't nothing to write home about, but it was all right. And like you said, it's in that steampunk world. It was pretty cool. Part two looks interesting. It's going to have a female protagonist. So
yeah,
it's going to be kind of interesting to see how they work that out.
Yeah.
The next press conference, which happened now on Monday, the EA and what was the other company on the...
Bethesda.
Bethesda, yeah. I don't know why I can't say that name.
I hope I'm saying it right.
They were on Sunday night, but Microsoft was the first one on Monday. Not a big Microsoft fan, so we'll go over these very quickly here. They announced their Project Scorpio, which is going to be their next Xbox. It's going to be like a half step or something to that equivalent of the Xbox One.
Yeah, Scorpio. That looks promising.
Yeah, no, I think it actually kind of scared Sony a little bit because there are rumbles of a Sony, I think they're calling it 4.5K or something like that.
How long has Sony and Xbox One PS4 been? Has it even been 5 years?
No,
right?
Not yet.
Dude,
no,
I thought this had like a 10-year lifespan, man.
Yeah, that's what people are kind of complaining about. But we'll see. It's still kind of early. Nothing's been concrete. No release dates, no price, no nothing like that. So we'll see.
Just
but
like we're working on
but
it.
But they did announce they're working on it, Project Scorpio, as well as the announcement of the Xbox Slim.
The Slim,
yeah. It's like 40% smaller, quieter,
small.
This and that. Yeah.
It looks like a... You know that thing I saw? It looks like a freaking like router.
Yeah.
Like that's how thin it was with the great thing on the bottom, yeah.
I mean, it looks small, but compared to the original Xbox One, which was huge, man,
yeah.
It was a huge console. I mean, definitely a lot bigger than the PlayStation 4. So, yeah, to reduce by 40%, it's huge. But maybe compared next to the PlayStation 4, it's not that considerably smaller, but it is definitely smaller.
It is. What I said, it looks small.
Yeah. State of Decay, which is like a play with some zombies, like real world kind of stuff.
Right.
Horizon 3. Oh, Forza. I'm sorry, Forza.
The Forza, the racing game.
Yeah,
right?
The racing game
that
3.
That looks sweet.
It looked cool, man. The graphics look really cool.
Now, that one, I saw their, like, truck. Is that, like, I saw them, like, dirt racing, like, in sands and shit. And then I saw, like, cars, and they're like, we're in Australia now. We have the first 4 co-op thing or something. You could race up to 3 other people at the same time. I don't know. They made a big deal about it in the thing I saw. Like, you could race up to 4 people live.
Yeah, no, I'm not really a big racer, and I'm definitely not a Microsoft guy, so I don't really know too many details, but it does look cool, the graphics, the little trailer that I saw look cool.
I'm going to let you have music in the background as you're racing.
Oh, great, man. Get to listen to my music. Yeah. Gears of War 4 gameplay was on display. Gears of War looks like a cool game. I've never get to play it. I'm not a Microsoft guy, but it's always been something that...
Looked bloody and...
Yeah,
boring.
Yeah. That if I were to become a Microsoft guy or get a console somewhere, that'd probably be one of the games I want to try.
Yeah, it looks cool. I mean, that was just like.
Yeah. Scalebound, which is you have a dragon as a pet and you got to train it.
Oh, is that what that was? Yeah, I saw some dragon shit. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck this is about. And they were like hyping it. Like, it was like the first world. What did he say? There was some guy talking and like, You're going to be, like, immersed with your training of this thing. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then they show dragons flying.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I don't know. The publisher, I forget their name of the publisher now, the developer, I'm saying. I forget who's developing it, but not one of the best reputations. So
really?
We'll see how it wraps up. Hopefully it does do well. The other one was by Rare, a big company that Microsoft purchased a couple years ago.
Right.
Sea of Thieves, where you're like a captain on a ship, and then you got to order your people. Like,
oh,
hey,
that was that pirate button. One.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, put up the masses, and bye, bye, bye. And you're going to be barking orders, and then all the other players, they all have a job, and you just got to take care of that singular job.
Yeah, I saw that, and there was like people in the corner talking, and like, you have to work as a team for this thing.
Yeah,
and
for
like,
sure.
It's team building and like all this other shit, and I'm just like, okay, like I don't know, like, and they had like hot girls playing and didn't look cool. I don't think those girls would play that game.
And the last big news for Microsoft was the cross-play and cross-buy for the PC.
That was cool.
Yeah, that is actually kind of exciting. I don't know if it'll work well, but at least the cross-play, but at least the cross-buy is a huge benefit. Where if you buy a Microsoft Xbox game, it'll also work on your Microsoft Windows. Your Windows 10.
Windows 10. I got XP, man.
Yeah, no, those guys are left behind. But yeah, supposedly the tech will allow you, similar to how PlayStation lets you play on the Vita, where you can play against each other or play on it as well. So, it's going to be
cool.
Kind of interesting. Hopefully it works out well for them.
The only thing I like, the other thing to add, the community thing with the groups, I like that. And then the Xbox Live, you could like search players to join your group or something. Like they have like a Craigslist for searching for game players.
Yeah. And it's kind of weird because usually Xbox Live is they're the ones who come out with these new things first. But actually PlayStation Plus has had that groups.
Oh, they do
they
have that?
Yeah, they have that already where you can make like these little groups and communities and you can get together. I'm part of a community for... Minecraft for Junior.
Right.
And whenever all them dorks get together, I get an alert like, hey, all these guys are together. Do you want to go join in and build something?
Now, did you start a group like for women game players only hot girls and you need a pick first?
Nah, man.
They don't let you build that group?
Nah, I don't do that in video games. The other big conference on Monday was Ubisoft. Ubisoft has some good games. So we'll run through these really quick here as well. South Park, The Fractured Butthole.
Yeah. The fractured butthole or butthole?
No, the fractured butthole.
Uh-huh.
It's two separate words. Yeah. But when you say it all together, it kind of sounds weird. It's a little play on words, but it's just like playing a South Park episode. For Honor, you play as one of three protagonists, either a samurai, Viking, or a knight.
Yeah, that was it.
Seemed kind of bloody and kind of cool.
The tagline is like, we don't know why we fight. We just fight.
The other one was Steep, which is an open world, like Alpine Valley sports game where you're like skiing and you're like, you know, doing all that board stuff on the snow stuff. All
right.
Some Watch Dogs 2 gameplay was on there as well, which kind of leaked a few days before that, but they showed a little bit more on it and it seemed pretty cool.
That was all right.
Yeah, I played the first one. It was very interesting, so, you know, glad to see Part 2 is developing well. Star Trek VR, it's one of the big VR games that Ubisoft is working on. Seems kind of generic, you know,
I don't know. Push these buttons.
You know?
I heard a lot of the actors talking about, I get to push buttons, and the captain tells me what buttons to push. You're like, I don't want to lower my shields. I don't want to press that button. I heard the word button a lot in that freaking hype video.
It's kind of like the Sea of Thieves thing with Microsoft. Yeah. There's a captain, and then there's workers, and all the workers have to do their job. Otherwise, the shit doesn't work. So, seemed kind of interesting.
It's,
we'll see.
Like, I want to check it out for the experience, but what I saw, like, I don't know. I'm on the fence about it, but I do want to play it, but I have a feeling it's not going to be great.
Ghost Recon Wildlands. This is another one where it's like a team. You got to go and you got a single mission. You got to retrieve this data. You got to retrieve this, rescue a hostage, blah, blah, blah. So you work as a team. You know, everybody has a job. You go handle the power plant. You go handle this. You go handle that. Seemed pretty interesting. Seemed a good, like a good party game. So Ubisoft was actually more towards the top in my list, as well as Microsoft. Microsoft has solid press conference. I kind of liked it, was to the top. But the winner in press conferences to me was Sony. Some of the Sony announcements was, and no bias by me because I'm a Sony guy.
Right.
But it was just the best press conference of this year's. First game, Days Gone, man. The Sony Bend game, they've been silent for a couple years, but they finally released a gameplay and a trailer as well, Days Gone. It's the zombie one where you got like hordes of zombies coming after you and you got to kill them all.
Yeah, I saw the gameplay, the 10-minute gameplay guy playing, chasing that other dude, and then like just swarms of zombies came, and I'm just like, okay, this is different. He's ducking and he's shooting them down and mowing them down, and then he gets to that the end at that tower, and they're just coming, and I'm just like, the fuck? How's this end? Like, I don't know. Like, it seems interesting. I wonder if they give you how, because the guy was like, he had a biker cut, like the vest, and
yeah.
I don't know. So I just got. I don't know if there's more. I'm pretty sure there's more info on it. Just the trailer. I saw the gameplay trailer, and it looked pretty fucking cool. Like, I do want to check that one out.
Yeah, I heard it's still a couple years out, so we probably won't see too much.
Couple years out.
Yeah, I heard maybe like 2017 for that one at the earliest. God of War. They kind of did like a soft reboot. It's a sequel to Part 3, but it's using Norse mythology. So kind of like the Vikings and stuff like that.
Right.
So it seemed pretty interesting, man. I liked the trailer. I thought the graphics look a lot better. It wasn't so quick hack and slash like the previous games.
Yeah.
And it was more like...
with that axe crap.
Yeah, kind of more where to like... the name's escaping me now. Dark...
I don't know.
There's another...
It's not from the other, like, previous incarnations. It was a little bit slow. He had an axe.
Yeah.
He ripped a couple guys up with...
Dark Souls. Yeah, that video game series. It's kind of like that, like, slow, methodical fighting. You got to dodge, move, shift, and attack kind of stuff. But looked interesting to me. Crash Bandicoot, man. They're going to remaster it, and then they're also doing, like, a Skylanders tie-in. Not a big Crash Bandicoot fan, so I'm not really interested in my half. But
well, yeah, they're remastering it from the ground up for PS4, so we'll see.
But there was a lot of fans that were excited, so you know, there's a crowd out there for that. Death Stranding, which is the new Kojima game.
Yeah.
He finally released a trailer. But after the trailer released, I read a little bit more about it, and actually he hasn't even settled on a game engine yet because he just barely signed on his exclusivity deal with Sony. So I'm not sure how much of this gameplay is actually going to end up in the game. Or
what's the premise of that, though?
There's really not much known because he just
saw a naked Walking Dead guy up there.
Yeah. It's Norman Reedus. Mm. Yeah, not too much is known. He just barely signed on with Sony, maybe less than 2-3 months ago. Oh, so
okay.
To have a game trailer up and running already, I'm kind of, you know, wishy-washy.
Scary,
if this is actually even going
to
be the game.
Need something for E3 to get the hype going.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And I think we'll be really lucky to see this thing maybe 2018, you know, that kind of game window. We're not going to see anything anytime soon with this thing.
Right.
But looked interesting because Kojima, I love his game. So, excited to see what he brings out. Spider-Man by Insomniac,
cool.
That trailer looked badass. Supposedly they've been working on this for like 2 years or so.
They better finish it. I like the last Spider-Man game.
Yeah, no, I heard it's near releasing, maybe 2017 as well. But 2017 is just around the corner. I mean, we're already going to be in July of this year, 2016. So 2017 is not too far along.
The suit changed. They got people talking. And when I saw the gameplay, it looked really fucking cool. I just don't know who the bad guys is. I just see like him chasing an armored car down or something, bank robbers or something. But they really didn't say who the bad guy is.
Yeah, probably have a few bad guys, two or three. But I saw like some Yakuza looking guys with like Chinese masks or Japanese masks or something like that. But it looked interesting, man. The graphics look really cool and the gameplay looked badass as well. Like Andy mentioned earlier, Resident Evil 7. It's actually the release of the game as well as the VR tie-in to the game. Right. It's going to be entirely playable through VR, through the VR headset, and you can have that immersed experience with it as well. So, very interesting. It's like one of the first AAA parties titles for VR. So it's going to be exciting to see how that turns out.
They should have done like a Spider-Man VR. Now that would have been fucking cool. Going through the buildings and shit.
I don't know if that would make you nauseous because usually fast movement and the VR headset I heard, it's kind of nauseous because your eyes can't adjust to the body movement that quick. Oh, okay. But yeah, that would be pretty cool if they could hammer that out. The other big one that I was excited for is Horizon Zero Dawn. That's by the developers of Guerrilla. They made Killzone previously.
Okay.
Horizon Zero Dawn, man. It's like you're fighting these like mech dinosaurs. Look pretty interesting.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah. Oh, you got to see the trailer for that. You're a chick and you got like a bow and arrow. You got like some of these primitive tech things and you're fighting these dinosaurs that are made out of tech. Or they're saying they're not dinosaurs, but they have dinosaur tendencies. Really cool game. Interested in that. I think that might be like this year, if not like spring kind of game. So we'll see when that comes out. Another one that's probably a little farther out, Detroit Becoming Human.
That was weird.
That's by Quantic Dream. They made previously Beyond Two Souls as well as Heavy Rain. Two other good games. So kind of excited for this Detroit one.
When I saw that trailer, first thing I thought, like, they're in Detroit, they got an android or something, a robot. And I'm like, oh, they tried to get RoboCop or something, but they didn't have enough money. They didn't get the licensing, so they're like, just fuck it, let's just switch it up. That's what the first thing that popped in my head, and I was not really that impressed with it.
Yeah, you get to play as different protagonists, and one of them is an android. And just like all their other previous games, the big thing is that it's branching storylines. Things that you do in the game react, and then it branches off, kind of like the butterfly effect, where something small here affects something in the future dramatically. So that's their big selling line. And by the trailer, you really got that impression as well, because they showed like eight different outcomes from little small changes that you did in your gameplay. So look really interesting, but I think that might be a little farther out. Might not be something you're going to see in the near future. The Last Guardian, which I think they released and announced a release date that's coming this fall. Last Guardian, you're playing with the Eco developers, and what was the other game? Shadow of the Colossus was the other game that they released. PlayStation 2 games, man. They didn't release anything for the PlayStation 3. And this is their first release since Shadow of the Colossus was a big...
Oh, yeah, I know that game now.
Yeah,
I remember seeing that. I'm thinking of the box right now. I remember seeing it.
I was a big fan of Ico and Shadow of the Colossus, so was very excited for The Last Guardian. Was actually announced as a PlayStation 3 game, but because of developing problems, engine problems, they ported it over to PlayStation 4, and they're finally releasing it, man. This thing's been in development for like 12 years.
Holy shit.
So you got to know it's going to be a piece of shit, probably. But I'm going to give it a chance. I'm going to at least try to play the demo if they release one, or probably just listen to some reviews and wait for it to hit the bargain bins if it really does suck. But interesting. We'll see how it goes. And then their last big announcement was the VR stuff. Like I mentioned previously, October 13th for $400. That's just the base unit, just the headset piece itself. You still need the controllers. You can use the Move controllers or the PlayStation 4 controllers. You also need a PlayStation 4 itself. That's what does the heavy lifting, is the processing, as well as the PlayStation camera. So if you have some of those other...
You need the camera too?
Yeah, the PlayStation Holy 4 camera. Shit. Yeah. But if you bought a PlayStation 4 at launch, it came with most of that stuff. So you should be set already, where all you need is the headset as well as some headphones. But you can use any kind of aftermarket headphones. So really the only purchase you need is the headset itself, which is going to be $400. And some of the VR games that they said, like you mentioned, I forget that other game that you said that
Battlefront. I saw that.
Yeah.
The Japanese,
yeah, the Star Wars one.
The Star Wars one.
Resident Evil was also. And then they also had the Batman VR.
Yeah, the Batman Arkham.
Yeah, they're going to play in Arkham. They're going to have that. As well as like a Final Fantasy tie-in.
Final Fantasy, that's the one I can think of. Yeah, because the guy in the game is wearing the damn, in the trailer's
yeah,
wearing,
he's wearing the headset.
Yeah.
You know, kind of show you how it's going to be. You're going to be a character in the battle itself. So it looked very interesting. They had a sizzle reel with some other VR headset stuff. And they also had a quick demo on the Call of Duty, the new one that's Infinite Warspace
or whatever. That looked all right.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool. And then last but least, Nintendo, they had like a little mini, not
they're
a press conference, but they had what they call, I think it's a treehouse presentation
they're
or something.
They're in the hallway yelling at people.
Yeah.
Check us out.
They kind of do it over the internet. It's something that they broadcast it over the internet.
They don't go there no more, right?
No, typically they don't go to E3. But they did have a booth. They were showing Zelda, which looks kind of cool, man. The Breath of the Wind, it's called. And it's coming out for Wii U as well as their next console, which they haven't announced yet, but they're saying it'll be released in the springtime, I believe. They mentioned in the spring or fall of this year.
Yeah, the trailer looked, the music was really cool. The graphics, I was just like, okay, it's not the best, but it did look nice. It worked with the music. I just don't know. It was like kind of different from all the Zelda that I've seen, and I don't know how that's going to work or translate over. Now, but I mean, people love Zelda and Link, so I don't know. I'm pretty sure people are going to get excited about it.
Yeah, I'm a big Zelda fan. I love playing all their games, played all their last ones, minus Skyward Swords. I didn't play Skyward Swords because I didn't have a Wii, so wasn't able to play that. But, man, I've been a big Zelda fan from the start, so very interested in this game. Like you said, it looks beautiful, great music. They got that orchestra going really crazy. So we'll see how that works out. Should be a release maybe by the end of this year or at the start of next year. And the very last thing that Nintendo had was the Pokemon. They really only had two announcements.
That's still a thing.
Yeah, Pokemon 3D. It's called Sun and Moon. That was the other big thing that Nintendo had. But yeah, really quiet on their end. They didn't have a press conference. They just had the internet thing. But that's about it, man. That's all for E3. There was a great press conference. Overall, they went on until Wednesday. The rest of the shows were just kind of like demos, some behind the door, closed doors, demos for, you know, the, you know, like IGNs and stuff like that. Yeah, kind of show them all these
exclusive
companies. Yeah,
crap to play games and shit.
Yeah, so stuff that we probably won't know about until the next coming months. But nah, man, it was really cool. Really only got to see the Sony one live. All the rest, I kind of just saw highlights and saw replays of it.
Damn you, Sony fanboy.
But, man, it was cool, man. I'm excited. I'm excited for VR after trying it and after seeing the E3 press conference. I'm really excited, and I'm hopeful for a good Sony showing this year.
Yeah, there was interesting stuff out of E3 every year, but like every year, E3 comes and goes, and we got to go. So we want to thank you all for listening. Remember, you can follow Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Freeform Network. Also, don't forget to send in your questions, suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Check out our friends under 1893 Coalition, Intellectual Nonsense, and Enthusiast Project. And don't forget to check out our webpage, freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There you'll see links to all our apps, Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, Spreaker, more. We added more. We're on Amazon or Google Play now. And just go to the website. You'll see links to everything. Subscribe and hit that like button. And again, this is Freeform Radio. This is
Daniel,
a new truck owner, Andy. And we want to thank you for listening. Enjoy your Father's Day and enjoy your week. We'll talk to you guys soon.
That was cool, Dad.